Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 182 of Your Career Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Jackson, your career management coach on a mission to make careers guidance and inspiration and advice accessible to all who need it. Your Career Podcast does just that. There's plenty of career management and career transition advice, personal branding, and job search information and interviews with fascinating professionals who have made amazing career changes. Now, today, I'm welcoming Bobby Umar to the show. He is one of the most prolific heart-based leaders in North America, and this is going to be an incredible interview. But before we launch into our interview, if you enjoy Your Career Podcast, please take a minute to leave a review on iTunes because, one, it's a really nice thing to do, and two, it helps this podcast to reach more people who may need support and inspiration. And for ongoing career development and career transition support, one-on-one and group coaching sessions, plus online development career programs, join the Careers Academy online. With membership included at no additional cost is a one-on-one coaching session with me, plus every month group career coaching sessions via Zoom video conference. You'll be a valuable member of a wonderful international network of professionals, all supporting each other and keeping each other accountable. You'll love it. Go to www.thecareersacademy.online for more information, or look for the link in the show notes at janejacksoncoach.com/podcast. At the end of this show, I'll give you the link to download my free job search guide too. Now, on with the show. Bobby Umar is one of the most prolific heart-based leaders in North America. Inc. magazine named him as one of the top 100 leadership speakers, along with such noteworthy giants as Richard Branson and Brené Brown. He is a 5-times TEDx speaker and social media influencer with over 500,000 followers. He's been named the second best business coach to follow on Twitter and the 4th best leadership influencer according to Cred. Bobby is an international author of 2 books, including a number one bestseller, and is a Huffington Post contributor. Bobby was also named 2015 Speaker to Watch and a top 7 networking guru to follow. He's just an amazing man and so nice too. Now, with a background in brand marketing, engineering, and performing arts, Bobby is now a recognized thought leader in networking, social media, and personal branding. He's a fiercely proud and committed dad, a feminist, and is passionate about diversity, equality, and entrepreneurship. He has worked with thousands of professionals to ramp up their careers, find their authentic path of passion and purpose, or become brand thought leaders. Now, Janelle Morrison, a former Ironman triathlete, motivational speaker, coach, and blogger, said about Bobby, "I cannot possibly say enough about the clarity, purpose, and direction Bobby is providing for me in growing my new business from the ground up. Bobby is, quite simply, the real deal in his ability to coach lost leaders towards becoming thought leaders." Now, high praise indeed for an amazing man. Now, let's welcome Bobby to the show.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jean. How are you?
Fantastic, especially because it's a very sunny Sydney day.
I am in Toronto, Canada.
So it's evening for you, morning for me. And I really appreciate your time because you are one of the founders of the 10 Tips, 10 Days hashtag on LinkedIn, which has just been skyrocketing. And that's how I first found out about you. And then when I started to do a little bit of research on you, I just kept going, wow, 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 because your career journey is absolutely amazing. And so how about, just to kick us off, let's find out about you and your early career aspirations when you were a little boy.
When I was a little boy, let's see. Well, I first wanted to be a garbage man because I love the fact they got to throw the bags into the truck. You got to ride the back of the truck, push the buttons, and the machine would crush the garbage. I thought that was like the dream job when I was five. Then I wanted to be an astronaut because most people want to be an astronaut. I also want to be a hockey player at one point because I used to play hockey all the time, and I had my favorite heroes on playing ice hockey. And those are probably the first few things that I wanted to be when I was a kid. So garbage man, astronaut, and hockey player.
Well, quite an eclectic, quite an eclectic mix then, wasn't it?
Well, sure, sure. But, you know, like every child can dream. And I was quite a dream. I would dream a lot.
Yeah. Oh, and I think where would we be without our dreams? And, you know, from those early career aspirations and then following your career journey, it really has been such an amazing trajectory because in the early days, you were an aerospace design engineer.
Right.
And so tell me about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, my whole story has been one of change and evolution. So I always like to say that throughout my career, I felt at times lost in my job, you know, stuck in my industry, unfulfilled in my work. And so it's a big part of what I do now in terms of helping people. But when I first started out, I was an aerospace design engineer. And while I was there, I was bored. And so on the side, I decided to start a musical theater company. I started producing and directing musicals. And I grew that. And I spent all my time, evenings and weekends, on this thing. And I grew that to 250 people over 4 years. And that became something that, wow, this is really kind of cool. Maybe I should get into entertainment. And so I left engineering, decided to try to get into entertainment. I couldn't do it. I wasn't able to find the right connections and the right way to do it. So I decided to switch and do my MBA. I did an MBA in brand marketing. And after I did the brand marketing piece, I was hoping it would get me a job in the film and television industry. It didn't work. So I got the next best thing, which was consumer packaged goods. So brand marketing for Kraft and Unilever. Did that for 4 years as well. And while I was there, I was also feeling a little bit burnt out. So I was looking for a creative outlet. And so I ended up applying for Second City, which is an advanced improv acting program. So I did that for a whole year and trained with them. And it was a great creative outlet for me. And that got me into the idea that, hey, maybe I can continue performing like I always have been. And I just didn't realize I could. Because at first I was like, maybe I should just do management, produce and direct or manage production. But I thought maybe I could still perform. And then after I left the corporate world and decided to, you know, what do I want to do now? I joined a sketch comedy troupe and I would perform with them as I was starting to figure out what I wanted to do. So I'd perform sketches, I'd write, I'd direct with a group called Fade to Brown, and we still have stuff online somewhere if you search it. And that was a lot of fun. We ended up with a TV pilot, which was great, and I enjoyed that journey. But at the same time, I was also trying to figure out, now, what do I really want to do? I also taught a lot on the side too. And so like, what do I really want to do? So I finally dove into my personal brand, really figured out the key elements that I cared about. And what I found out was that there were certain themes that came across. For example, certainly Bobby doesn't like hierarchy, doesn't like process, doesn't like, you know, all the structure of a corporate landscape. But I did say that I like people, I love nurturing, I like persuasion influence, I like performing, presenting, and I like diversity. And so from those five key brand elements, I had about a dozen paths I could take, but from that I chose professional speaker. And because it allows me to do all those things, work with people, persuasion, influence, performing, presenting, having fun, and I haven't looked back. I mean, that's been a 15-year journey from when I first started out. And when I first started out, certainly, I was talking mostly about leadership and soft skills, things like that. But pretty soon, I became a networking expert. And then eventually, a few years later, I started talking about personal branding, and that really took off. And then my social media presence also started to take off, too. I started becoming a social media guy, and I eventually got 100,000 followers on Twitter. And now I have over 500,000 followers across all social media. But at the time, it started to become the third thing I talked about, which is social media and digital influence and things like that. So now what I do as a speaker is I focus on three things, which is all around my main brand, which is the power of connection. So personal branding, connection with the self, networking, connection with others, and social media or digital influence, connection with the world. And that's what and then on top of the speaking thing, I also started dabbling into coaching. I launched a couple of programs, and now I do coaching. So I mostly do speaker coaching, and I do transition coaching for people. So that's another big part of my work and my programs. So, that and is, here I am now. So there you go.
That is such an incredible career trajectory. And you know what? As you were telling me the story, I'm thinking, oh, me too. I love this. I mean, what you've done is so interesting because you've leveraged your natural abilities and your interests and turned it into a career path. How rewarding is that? You know, right from the early days of enjoying the musicals and then, you know, with your comedy troupe and like enjoying the acting as well. I'm a little bit of a drama queen myself, but it was community theater that I was in when I was in Singapore for about 10 years doing pantomimes. And there's nothing nicer than dressing up and really hamming it up sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree. And doing it in front of a crowd, they love it. Like it's for me, I think the biggest thing that drew me to what I'm doing now is the feel of the stage. My favorite thing in the world is to be on stage in front of hundreds of people and feeling the energy of the crowd. To me, that's one of the best things in the world. And if I had to pick one thing I could be doing, that's all I want to do.
And seeing the smiles on their faces and then being able to make people laugh or cry or feel happy. It really is something, isn't it? And not just with the acting side of your career, but now with the speeches that you present, you know, and you've done 5 TEDx talks.
Right.
And, you know, focusing on personal branding and connection and digital. And it really is such a talent to be able to do that. And obviously you just exude that passion too. So tell me, the former aerospace design engineer turned marketing expert turned thespian and now leadership coach and speaker, there are so many strings to your bow, and you've also got a business called Discover Your Personal Brand. So the personal branding side of it and understanding you and your why is a big part of your career now. And then you have Ray Allen Training too, where you're developing future leaders, yes?
Yeah, so one part of it is my speaking business, which is Ray Allen, and doing the training, speaking, and coaching. And the other part is DYPB, which is personal branding. It's a startup. And so the idea is that I work with a team of people to deliver personal branding initiatives, trainings, courses, consulting for business leaders. And so I've kept them separate, but there's overlap as well. But for the most part, it's kind of cool because now I have this startup where I work with a bunch of people. Whereas with Ray Allen, my speaking and training thing, that's really just me by myself.
You know, because you're able to do so many things and you're obviously multi-talented as well, which one out of everything that you do really makes your heart sing the most?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned that. Being on stage in front of 500 to 1,000 people live, that is the best thing. It's the most energizing thing. It's where I'm in my elements, where I feel the best. So I think that's my favorite thing in the world. You know, if I could just do that versus everything else, I would do it. But for the most part, they say, you know, write a book, Bobby, put together a program, coach people. Okay, sure. But if I could just go on stage and do that, I love that part.
That's such a talent because many, many people say that they really don't like public speaking because they get so nervous and they think of it as something worse than death, being in front of so many people. So what's your secret? What would you advise, as you are a former, five TEDx talks that you have delivered, what would you say are the secrets to presenting well?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize that don't be a speaker, be a teacher, right? So don't try to be the next Tony Robbins or Barack Obama. Try to be just someone who's going to teach and deliver a message. That's the first thing. Number two, it's you have to know your audience. So cater to what they need, what they want, how they want to perceive you and how they want to learn. Because every audience is different. And so you need to make sure that... So when I speak to CEOs or when I talk to entrepreneurs, there's different stories, different tactics. When I speak to young children, which is one of the most scariest things you can do for me, I once had to speak to grade 6, 7, 8. So these are like 11 to 13 year olds. And so, you know, I was terrified, but you know, like I had to change how I spoke to them and cater to that audience. And then number three, you have to find your own style and energy. Every single person has their own style and energy, whether you're extrovert, introvert, analytical, you know, top of mind thinking, whatever it is, find your style and energy. And if you know what that is, then you can leverage it to be a really effective speaker, no matter what your personality. And then the last thing I'll say is that, you know, you have to rehearse and organize in a way that makes you feel prepared. So for people who are really nervous, more rehearsals necessary, more preparation, organization necessary. Someone like myself, not as much rehearsals necessary, but again, play to your strengths and leverage and make sure you deliver on your goal.
You know, preparation obviously for speakers is so important because you have to know your topic inside out. What about just before you get on stage? I like to speak as well, not at your level, you know, but I still love speaking and presenting and doing all of that. But always just before I get on, I'm like, oh, sweaty palms and butterflies, and I get very nervous. So still feel the notes?
Yeah, you should. I mean, having nerves means you care. The moment you don't have any nerves, you're going to come across as an arrogant, egotistical, you know, megalomaniac. What you want to do is you should have the butterflies come every time. It means that I care. I want to deliver my best. I care about my audience. I care about serving and teaching. And so for me, having butterflies is important. Yeah, I always have nerves.
Mm-hmm. And have you found that with your experience, you know, in musicals and acting and being a producer, a writer, a director, all of this, and then your comedy team as well, has that really helped the way that you present and deliver your message?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think part of it, there's a performance aspect that I can do. You know, there are speeches. Actually, I did a keynote just last week, and normally I wouldn't do this, but I sang. I sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow for the crowd, and I really belted it really nicely with my voice, and everyone started cheering, but because they made me, right? But I said, sure, I'll do it, and I normally wouldn't, but I did, and so that helps. But the other thing, too, as a performer is I'm very adaptable and flexible on stage, you know, that I think that really helps. It certainly adds to the energy that I bring to the stage in terms of how I do stuff, so I think that's all part of it. Being a good writer, being a good actor, listening to your crowd allows you to be, I think, a much better speaker. So I've been able to leverage that. And the other part is, you know, being funny, because I get often the feedback that I'm very, very funny or even hilarious, but you know, I never sell that as my big thing. I just do it. And I know that the improv experience and the comedy experience has definitely helped me with that. I don't do stand up, but I definitely deliver speeches that are funny.
And now I know that you're a singer too.
Yeah. Okay.
Do your talents know no bounds? I bet you're worried that you're going to find out if I'm going to ask you to sing a few notes or not. I won't make you do that right now.
I think most performers have the triple threat. I mean, I started out as a singer first, and then I got into acting. I was actually singing first, but then I realized, hey, I have a gift for improv comedy, so that became more focused than doing dramatic stuff.
And Bobby, so now we know your public persona and personal brand, of course, is so important. What's the Bobby Umar at home like?
Well, I think the best way I can describe it is big brown teddy bear, really. So, you know, my children are adorable, and they'll always sit on my lap, and we do lots of hugs and squeezes and snuggles. And I'm a very snuggly teddy bear type person. I love hugs. I love snuggling. I love just sitting, talking about life and observations. So for me, that's a big thing. I'm very passionate about lots of things. You know, like you can't see this, but behind me there's a gigantic cupboard full of board games. I love musical theater. I love film and television. I love nature. I'm very political. I mean, I think generally speaking, I'm a very passionate person about a lot of interests, which is also one of the things I had trouble with, you know, when I was younger, which was, jack of all trades, passionate about many, many things, but wasn't really the master of one. So it took me a while to get to, okay, what are the two or three things I want to be really good at?
And now with your networking, because you encourage connection globally, and this is, you know, how I found out about you, because there was this incredible movement on LinkedIn, the 10 tips to 10 days that you've done a couple of times now because it's been so popular. And it really has brought a global community together of so many people who want to share their expertise and provide in, you know, succinct little nuggets of information over the course of, you know, 10 posts on LinkedIn. And I've looked at so many of them, and all of them are filled with so much value. So
yeah.
How did you come across this idea?
Well, you know, I got together with Lila and Kira and Jake, and we had seen other hashtag campaigns that had been successful. Like the Let's Get Honest campaign had been very, very successful. And there was another one that was like 30 days of just sharing content. And so we're like, we felt, what's a really good one? Number one, we wanted to encourage people to create content on a consistent level and share their expertise. Number two, we wanted to make sure people did it on a consistent basis. And number three, we want to make it easy. And we found 30 days is a lot for people. Mm. And then 10, you know, we thought 10 would be pretty short and sweet, you know, but enough to really have a good library of things you put together. Because I think you can put 10 tips around anything. So, you know, my first 10 tips was on networking, then I did one on personal branding, then I did one on speaking, now I'm doing one on thought leadership. So I've done them several times, and I find it really helpful to create that framework around the 10. And so, Then I think what really helped us is that once we decided to do that, we then reached out to 10 more people and said, listen, would you like to support this campaign? And so each of us got 10 people. So now we had 40 people plus us. And then we launched. And when the 45 people did it and we started had a nomination system, which is what Let's Get Honest did, then it started to really roll, which was great. This time when we launched it, we had 100 people ready to do it before we launched. So now it's even bigger. And honestly, I can't even keep track of it. Like same with Let's Get Honest, the Let's Get Honest campaign. Our campaign, I think we had over 5 million impressions views last time. This time it's so broad, I can't even keep up with them all. Like I'm getting tagged all the time and I see the feeds and I try to like and comment as much as I can, but I can't keep up with everything. It's amazing. So we're really grateful that people have really taking this on. And on top of the content and sharing of expertise, it's created a community of people, which is fantastic. I love that. That's the best thing you can do with LinkedIn and all social media, is build a strong community of people that support one another.
Mm. And you know, your authenticity comes through as well, because with the 10 tips for 10 days, because there are so many people doing it, and with 640 million members on LinkedIn, you know,
the
market is huge, but you still manage to find the time to like and comment some of my posts, you know, with that tag as well, because your inbox must be just inundated. And when you look at the hashtag 10 tips, 10 days, it just goes on and on, because there's so many people who really have embraced this movement too.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And but I also have learned over the years of having created content for, I've been creating video content now for 2 years. And when I first started out, I was doing video content every day. And over the years, it became overwhelming. And so I learned to forgive myself. If I miss stuff, I don't get too upset about it. I forgive myself. I realize that I only can only spend a certain amount of time on this platform per day or per week. So I have to be able to be more mindful of that. But I do try to catch as much as I can. And I'm also pretty fast. Like, you know, if I'm on the bus, I have my phone up, beep, 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 oh, do, no problem. I can quickly do stuff. So I'm pretty good at multitasking.
Mm-hmm. And what's your take on networking now? Because I co-host LinkedIn Local Sydney networking events with Gillian Bullock here. We've been doing it for 2 years now. And it's amazing.
We've been doing LinkedIn Local Toronto for 2 years now as well. It's been great.
Oh, yeah, you know what? There's David Canton in Canada. Have you come across him as well?
I have not.
We tried to do a live cross feed when he was doing LinkedIn Local and we were doing LinkedIn Local as well. But the technology let us down.
Oh dear.
It was such a shame. But we should try and tie in LinkedIn Local Sydney.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Local Toronto and do a LinkedIn live with it. How good would that be?
That would be amazing.
We've actually got one coming up on the 27th of November. It's going to be our Christmas event.
On the 21st of November.
Just a week apart. Maybe we've got to think about how we can maybe link up, because that would be great. But with networking, Bobby, it really is so important, because, well, as you know, my market are job seekers, because I'm a career coach. Right. And a lot of job seekers and people going through career change that I work with, they feel really reluctant about networking, because they think that it's schmoozing and here's my card, call me. And I go, no, that's not what networking is all about. What is your best description of networking?
Well, I mean, I think people get caught up with the word, but ultimately, people are a very important part of our personal and professional lives. And it's important for us to cultivate positive, nurturing relationships. If you agree with that statement, then it's important for you to invest in building those relationships and building that connection. So let's not even use the word networking. What are you doing to build and cultivate positive relationships that are going to help you and help you help others as well? Because networking to me is not just about, you know, sending your card out and promoting yourself. Networking is about building relationships and seeing how you can help people. So I'm a big believer and an advocate for networking to help others. So when I go to a networking event, my big question is, how can I help you? That's what I want to know. I want to know how I can help you. If there's a way for us to help each other, wonderful. But for me, I'm trying to nurture and build relationships so I can be very helpful and create that impact, because I'm all about building leadership and building opportunities for other people and then help their leadership grow. So for me, that's a big part of it. And as long as you focus on the relationship piece and how that can actually help you and help other people, I think you'll be in a good spot.
And I think the way that you network and being authentic in your communication as well, that's part of your personal brand too, isn't it? Because it's the experience that people have of you, and you're a personal branding expert too. So what's your take on authentic branding?
Well, the first thing I'll say about branding is that, you know, your brand is your promise. So the promise you deliver to everyone you come in contact with, what do they remember about you? How do they experience you? How do they feel about you? Everything you can do to make that experience amazing, that's a very important piece. Now, what was the question again?
What's your take on personal branding? So how do you brand yourself really authentically?
So I think a big part of it goes back to my whole philosophy on networking and building relationships to serve others, right? So when you look at leadership or servant leadership, what are you doing to help other people and create impact for them? It's not about you. It's about the value you provide for other people and create that impact. So when I try to network, I try to build a brand, I'm really big on making sure I serve and have a certain objective about who I serve. So for example, when I put together my personal brand, I have my why statement. And my why statement is that there are lost, stuck, and unfulfilled leaders everywhere I go. And so when I know that, I know how these people feel, I know the pain they feel, I know where they want to go. And so as soon as I wake up and I create my content, I do my speech, I do my coaching, I go to network events, I go there with purpose and intent. And then with doing that, I then have impact, because I'm out there specifically going after people to try to help them not feel stuck, feel more fulfillment. And so for me, that's how I create a brand around what I'm trying to do, but also help them with their brands as well.
Mm-hmm. You're a natural coach, Bobby.
Thank you. And the authenticity piece really is about, you know, if you do a personal brand analysis, you know, make sure you're honest with yourself. A lot of people build a brand that's not authentic because they're not honest. If you truly value money, then just say so. If you truly value status, then say so. If you truly value things that you think, oh, I shouldn't value that, I should only value helping the poor children, and that's it, in the poor countries. I mean, you're allowed to be who you are. I mean, you might as well spend time being who you are versus someone you're not, because that's just exhausting if you're doing something to someone else. I think to be authentic, it's really about asking those questions. But what are my values, skills, interests, passions, and traits? And also, you know, what really makes me feel happy and fulfilled and aligned and valued. And when you think of those things, then you'll be able to create a more authentic brand for yourself.
Yeah, it's so true, because it depends on what you value as an individual as well. And if currently your value is amassing a great fortune, for example, if you own it and that's what you do, eventually you'd be able to help others to do what you do if you've been very successful. But if your top values are to be of service, as you are, and most coaches too, that's what we do. It's to be of service to others. Then we've got to live and breathe that as well. But always be true, because I think when anyone veers away from what their true values are, they just don't feel quite right. It's like you're a little bit out of sync. You're living and breathing your truth, Bobby. I love that. That's just so good.
And so
you, as the leadership coach, tell me about if people want to find out more about you and reach out to you. I know you're a busy man, but if they wanted to reach out to you, where are the best places to find you?
Well, the best place to find me are on my website, rayallen.com. You can also find me on my LinkedIn, whether it's my profile or my company page. You can follow me there. Also on social media, I'm at the handle Rayhan Bobby. So I'm available on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and everywhere else. So that's probably the best place to find me.
Wonderful. Well, what I'm going to do, Bobby, is have all of your links on my show notes at janejacksoncoach.com. So just in case people don't remember after hearing all the different places to find you. Sure. Mind you, I think if they just Googled Bobby Umar, you would be there anyway.
Googleability
is something that I think is very important.
You say it so well, the Googleability.
I know, because, well, I talk about it all the time. So Googleable is one of my favorite words. I have another favorite word too, tintinabulation. It's the tinkling of water, you know, in a stream, which is lovely. Do you have a favorite word?
No, I say Googleicious.
Googleicious.
I'm Googleicious, yes. Yeah, it's just easier to say.
Oh, well, there we go. The tintinabulation of the words Googleability and Googleiciousness.
There you go. Wow. Big words. Okay.
Good fun. Okay, well, we could have a bit of a laugh. I bet you could turn that into a stand-up comedy routine if you wanted to. And so also, I think, may I also put a couple of YouTube links of you in my show notes too?
Sure.
Yeah, of course, to your TEDx talks, because I think that would inspire a lot of people.
Yeah, that I'd love that. That'd be great, and yeah. I can share that and other things you want too. But I'm happy to share that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful, because I think your TEDx talks are very inspiring, and so.
Thank you.
It has been such a pleasure, and I know it's getting late where you are now, even though it's my day is starting. So thank you so much, Bobby Umar, for your time. And I'm so glad that we met on LinkedIn, because it really just shows how powerful the LinkedIn platform is, that, you know, we get to meet, you know, halfway across the world.
And truly a pleasure, because you are very complimentary and you are articulate and eloquent and just really... I do a really good job with this. So well done, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Bobby. And we will certainly have you on again when you do something even more spectacular than what you've already done.
Okay, I'm working on it.
Thank you, Bobby. Bye now. You've been listening to Your Career Podcast with Jane Jackson. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. I'll love you for it. And as promised, here's the link to your free job search guide. Go to www.thecareersacademy.online/free-job-search-guide. Too easy. Or go to my show notes and the link will be there. So hop over to janejacksoncoach.com/podcast. And remember, until next time, believe in yourself and create magic. If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.